Clients protect assets from creditors so that clients can continue to enjoy the items that bring them joy without the burden of credit cards, medical bills, lawsuits, payday loans, repossessions, or foreclosures. Discuss your situation in confidence with Scott by calling the Gons Law Office at 573-303-5353 or 636-931-8900.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements. It's time for Viking Voices on KJFF. Catch up on all things Jefferson College athletics. Basketball.
Bobbling it and collecting it and putting it off the glass with Kayla Yinger.
She played awesome. I mean, you know, she's been giving us really, really, really good minutes since she came on.
Baseball.
Justin's really someone that came in, transferred in from Murray State. He's been a winner everywhere he's been.
Deep to left field. Left fielder stumbles, and as he stumbles, the ball clears the fence. Solo shot, Justin Perkins.
Softball.
Hill to Takushi. Outside corner, called strike three, 9Ks for Corinne Hill.
I thought she had a good command, good control. Never really felt threatened in this game from him. And so it was good for her, good confidence booster.
Abby McAteer, the lefty with the strong arm, fires a strike to home plate. A run down that last 2 seconds as Wright is out at third.
We even have volleyball, men's soccer, and women's soccer. We don't miss a beat, and neither should you. Let Viking Voices begin. Here's KJF Sports Director Matt Greenwood.
All right, I am Matt Greenwood, and sitting across from me is Coach Tony Cook of the softball program. As you heard him talking about Corinne Hill going up against Middle Area College, so yeah, that was a good day for Jeffco sweeping Mac at the campus. So, and then we had McAteer who you know threw to, I don't know if you recall this, but it was against Mac. Ricky Lynn Wright was at third base. McAteer made a catch on a line drive, made the catch, and Ricky Lynn tried to tag up from third. She threw a perfect, I mean, that was like right there, and Murphy just caught it and chased Ricky Lynn back towards third, and tag applied by Barlow, as you heard in the cut, and there you go.
Get the out, huh?
That was a fun moment for you guys. By the way, 40-11, yep. Regular season over with. Tied with Three Rivers for first place in the Region 16, but after the first three tiebreakers, where it was still tied, coin flip, unfortunately, has to decide the number one seed, and you guys got stuck with the two.
Yep, it didn't go our way. You know, they always say the old cliche, tails never fails, but we chose heads. It didn't go our way, so it's all right. We looked at how the seedings are, and we still like our position, so we're fine with that.
First game is 1:30 St. Charles in Joplin Friday, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I thought I might get that wrong, so I thought I'd ask you.
No.
All right. So, what a good season for you guys.
It wasn't bad. I mean, we had our ups and downs through it, but overall, our sixth straight year of 40 wins or more, so happy with that. And, I think we're hitting some peaks where we're against the teams that we think we can beat. We're playing pretty well, and so, I like our chances going in this weekend.
Corinne Hill, who's going to be joining us later on the show, Abby McAteer as well. They are in the conference room with us. I got the habit of saying in studio, so I almost said in studio again. But they're going to be joining us a little bit later, and they've both had excellent seasons. You rely on Corinne a lot for game ones of your doubleheaders, and she's done a mighty fine job there. And McAteer, strong defensive player for you out in left field, can swing the stick too as well. And just really a great pair of players to have on the program with us here today and also for you for the season.
Yeah, we were just putting in stats and looking at, Corinne had a really good day yesterday. She had 14 Ks against East Central and
wow.
Picked up win number 19. And
there you go.
And so, she's getting it. She's moving up into the statistics and on the national level. And so, and Mac's been hot lately. We really like what she's been doing for us, especially against the good teams. And so, like what we see out of both of them right now.
By the way, before I continue, I want to make sure people know how to follow you guys on Twitter. That is a big thing nowadays. It is on the Twitters, as some people call it, at Corinne Hill, if you want to follow what Corinne Hill is doing. I know all the time, you know, the softball team is tweeting out, you know, what the result is and tagging Corinne Hill. So you see that a lot because, again, she's a big part of the team. And Abby Mac 11. Hopefully they're okay. I mean, hopefully they're okay with these Twitter handles being released. They're smiling at me, so I'm hoping that's a good thing. But Abby Mac, you know, there as well. Abby Mac 11. Mm-hmm. And then of course JC_benchwarmers. That's the official Jefferson College softball Twitter handle.
Yep.
And so y'all, I mean, I don't know who does it. Maybe they can tell me. But whoever you know tweets out those results mm-hmm. does a spectacular job. And sometimes I'm reading one, and like 10 seconds later, here comes another, and I'm just like, wow, they're really good at this.
Yeah, I think some of the players take turns doing that, and so you know they do a play-by-play with it. And so you know, for anybody that doesn't have the opportunity to you know listen to us on the radio or listen, you know, see us in person, they can follow us on Twitter on you know through the internet.
Yep, JC_benchwarmers. Also, they can follow you, Coach Cook.
Yep, I'm on there.
Although it doesn't say your name, yours is at JCSoftball2017.
Yeah.
You're going to change that to 2018?
I'll change it to 2018 one of these days. I'm not too tech savvy, so I got to get one of these girls to help me out doing that.
That's okay. We just got a new Viking Voices intro just today, so it's all perfectly all right. Let's dive into a little bit more of the numbers of Corinne Hill. As you mentioned, her 19th win of the season, mm-hmm. Strikeouts seem to be something that she's very consistent with as well. Talk about her presence on the mound and how comfortable you are throwing her out there every day.
You know, she's one we can rely on. She's very, you know, road warrior out there. I mean, every time you put her on there, you know what you're going to get. And so, you know, and when she's, you know, her rise ball's working or her drop curve or, you know, backdoor, stuff like that, then that really throws teams off, and then they don't get to dig in on her. And so, you know, for the most part of the season, she's done a really good job with that. You know, her strikeout-to-walk ratio is very good. And so, like I said, I think she's up to almost close to 160 strikeouts to only 29 walks. So we really like that stats right there on for her. And, you know, we got some big games this weekend, and she's just got to do the same thing she's been doing all year. You know, we can't get overhyped and try to overthrow. And, you know, when that happens, everything's tendency to rise up. And, you know, some of these teams we're going to be playing, they like that, you know, the higher ball. You know, if Corinne lives and dies, it's got to stay low. You know, if we're going to have success, she's got to stay down to the knee-high level. And if she does, then we'll be successful.
And we did find out that, or y'all found out that kind of the rough way with Crowder. Mm-hmm. I mean, the wind helped out. I mean, there was a breeze blowing out, and you know, a routine pop turned out to be a home run for a couple of players. And so I'm sure that's a little frustrating. Corinne Hill's nodding her head. Of course it is. Who loves giving up home runs? But yeah, and so we saw, you know, a Crowder offense that you might face again mm-hmm. in this tournament. Three Rivers gave you guys a tough battle throughout the season as well. So kind of, Coach, if you wouldn't mind, just kind of take us through what you learned from each of those teams.
You know, Crowder likes to, you know, they'll swing at the high pitch and they'll chase it. And one thing about Crowder is they're going to give you every bat of theirs. They'll be swinging out of shoes. And so, you know, if we mix pitches up against them and don't let them dig in, I think we'll be successful with that. And you know, we got to move the ball in and out and then change the, you know, the plan of the pitch. And so, if we do that, then I think we can have some success against Crowder. Biggest thing against them is we got to, you know, defensively, we got to play good sound defense behind Corinne when she's on the mound when we do that. And Three Rivers, you know, I don't think they're as a strong hitting team as Crowder. They rely on really the one pitcher they got. And but I think we really match up well against them. You know, every game we played against them was, you know, scores in our favors. And the two wins they got off of us, we lost one in 10 innings. And the other one, we had like four miscues in the seventh inning when they scored the six runs to beat us that one game at home. So if we don't shoot ourselves in the foot on them games, I think you know we could have been 3-4 or 4-0 against Three Rivers. So not to overlook them, but I just don't think I think we rarely match well against Three Rivers. And you know, Crowder is a tough team, and you know, North Central is also. So we just got to go out and play our kind of ball, and that's being aggressive on the bases and you know, shoring up things on defensively. And of course, we got to pitch.
Well, you swept the season series against St. Charles, 13-2, 5-3, 9-1, 9-0. You got to face them in the first round. That's a 1:30 start again this Friday in Joplin. So if anyone's listening and they want to travel out to Joplin and see some good softball, They can go see you guys play. But what about St. Charles? I mentioned the second game of the season was a 5-3 game, so obviously they played you a little bit closer to the vest there. But your thoughts on St. Charles?
You know, I think the first two games we were kind of adjusting to their pitching, not as high velocity as we've been used to, and so it kind of threw us off a little bit. We've been working on it really well. And, you know, the last time we played them, we mercy ruled them twice. I think we made some really good adjustments to that, and our pitchers did a really good job. Biggest thing on games like that is you just got to jump out in front real quick. Mm-hmm. Let them know that, you know, they're not going to, you know, dictate how the game's going to be. You know, we're going to be responsible for what happens. And if we do that, then I think we'll be okay with St. Charles.
McVay, AD here, Greg McVay, said he'd email us the brackets. not yet. What's your bracket looking like at this point?
You know, right now we're the two seeds. So we'll play St. Charles. Okay. The game after that will be the three seed, which would be Crowder against State Fair. And then so those two winners will match up. So, you know, potentially it could be us and Crowder going against each other. And then top of the bracket, you got Three Rivers with the bye. And then you got the four seed, which is North Central. And you got Maplewood, which is the five seed. So North Central could eventually, or even Maplewood could play Three Rivers in that game there. And both of those have split with Three Rivers. So, you know, I think, you know, that's going to be a tough, you know, top part of the bracket. I think it's going to be pretty tough. And so that's the way the first round looks right there.
And this is single elimination or double?
It's a double elimination tournament.
Okay.
So, you know, if you lose, you're in trouble because you can play 3 to 4 games in a day. And so, you know, if you don't have a lot of depth in pitching, and if you're not used to a lot of games in one day, then it's a long haul and long road. We've played a lot of tournaments this year. We played a lot of games. It's been tough and close. And so, one good thing is I think for a tournament wise, I think this team's really been, you know, pretty well tested. And I think the nerves, you know, I think we can handle it.
I'm glad you mentioned depth because before the Crowder games, we talked about your pitching and how you've been able to mix in some arms throughout the year. Caitlin Williams, Taylor Nordwald, of course, you got Corinne Hill mm-hmm. as well. So I'm sure you're, I don't know how Corinne's holding up, but how are the others? And I mean, do you think that this depth is a strength of yours heading into this tournament?
Yeah, I think so because, you know, each one has a different forte of their pitching style. And so, you know, the last one against Crowder, you know, K-Dubs came in and did really well in that second game against Crowder, her and Tay both. So with Corinne and those two, I think we can mix things up really well and, you know, and put a rotation out there that can throw teams off and get us to the next game.
Kate O'Day, she's on your squad,
she
right?
is. Okay. Her and Sarah Berry both.
I can't remember what game it was recently that we saw her pitch in, that we broadcast. I know we broadcast it.
Maybe the State Fair game? At home, I think it was.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think it was.
McAteer says yes. And, I mean, I came into this conference room and you guys were talking, and I came away impressed with how much information these ladies are able to maintain. So I trust McAteer when she says that O'Day threw against State Fair. You mentioned about the experience. Now, I know these girls, McAteer and Hill, they're both freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
Hill from Montgomery City and Abby from Cedar Hill. I'm not fully aware as to their district runs or their state runs, but maybe you can fill us in on that and just kind of talk about, you know, how comfortable you are with their ability to step up in these big games.
You know, as our season went on, we played, you know, the Joplin tournament, and we went over to Kansas and played a little bit, and then we played a district team in Indian Hills. So, you know, I think we played a lot of, and we, you know, when we played in that Joplin tournament, we played against some ranked teams and some good teams, and, you know, it almost felt like our regional playoffs. And then we even talked about that. I said, here's the atmosphere, especially when we played against NEO. We had a large crowd watching, a lot of other teams watching, high intensity game, and you know, we were fortunate enough to win 3-2. And every pitch, every out, I mean, everybody was just on their toes, and it was, you know. I told the girls after that, I said, this is what it is at the regional tournament. And so games like that, and then we had some good game matchups against Crowder, and we had some good wins against North Central up at their place. Windy conditions, and we came away with a 2-1 win and then a 4-2 win late in the game. And so those type of games are the ones that, you know, I think is going to help these guys be more comfortable when we get into the tight games coming up this weekend. So, you know, overall, we're starting seven freshmen out of the nine out on the field. But even though they're freshmen, I think they're pretty well battle tested going in this weekend.
We're speaking to Tony Cook, head softball coach for Jefferson College here on Viking Voices, and I believe it's April 25th. Who knows? I know lose track all
it
the
is.
Time. So Friday's right around the corner for you guys for the tournament. But I wanted to talk to you briefly about Abby Rolle. I know, you know, huge, huge piece of this offense that's missing.
Absolutely.
I think at the time she went down with her leg injury, she was leading the team in RBIs and batting average. Do you think these girls have been able to, you know, handle that situation and, you know, keep that strong mentality and be confident in themselves to move forward and win this tournament?
You know, I think they have. I mean, you know, when that happened, we were in the middle of our 5-day stretch where we played 5 days straight in a row. And, you know, it was against Maplewoods when she hurt her knee, and then we still had to play other teams after that, the Crowders and the Three Rivers and all that. So, you know, I think this team's adapted well to it. We've had you know, put the call out there, hey, some of you got to step up, and, you know, we got to make up for, you know, a hitter that's hitting 545 at the time. And so I think we've done that. And the biggest thing is, you know, we put Murphy in the outfit. She's done a really good job for us helping there. You know, Brianna Peters has come in and stepped up real big for us when we needed that in there. And so, you know, we've asked some players to step up, and they have. And, you know, I don't think – I mean, obviously, it's going to hurt you. I mean, anytime you lose a 500 hitter and, you know, your number three hitter, you got to have others step up. But it's still a loss.
Hannah Carl is one that I've been blown away by, her offensive prowess in the middle of that order. But before we address her, I want to bring this up. You talked about, you know, her Rolle going down in game two against Maplewoods. Y'all won that game 9-4. It sort of happened late in the game. Mm-hmm. Well, since then, you won 2, 4, 6, 8 of 10. And what I notice on the schedule is against Crowder, which we broadcast, and then against North Central, you lost game one, but then the girls rebounded in game two and won each one 9-1 and 8-3 respectively. Yep. So there goes that whole bounce back, you know, confidence in themselves, being able to take a loss, recover quickly, and turn things around.
You know, and that's I just had a conversation with my wife last night after I told her that we were the number two seed, and she said, you know, look at it that way. She's like, you guys always play better your second game. So mm-hmm. Use the first game against St. Charles to get ready, but your second game is always your better game. She said, look at what you've done the last 2 weeks. And, like, and so I thought about the same thing. Like, you know, it really has it. I mean, so we're going with that same, just what you just talked about, the mentality of, hey, that's going to be our second game. We're going to play really well that second game. So that's the approach we're going to take about. That's what we were going to talk about in our team meetings. And we have. We've done really we've, you know, like I said, girls have stepped up. They've accepted the consequences of, you know, losing the Rolle, but they've done a really good job of coming in and picking up where we left, you know, what happened to Rolle.
Carl, like I said, I wanted to talk about her, not just her, but Skylar Barlow as well. You know, she had a power surge, you know, early, mid part of the season. It's quieted down just a little bit, but Hannah Carl has helped pick that up. And then let's also talk about Taylor Barnes. I've never seen – I mean, I blink and I miss her going from first to second. You can't catch her. I mean, you can't get her stealing. She's got, like, what, 60-some-odd stolen bases?
She's currently right at 64. She's one
Golly.
Behind the leader, national leader. And, you know, yesterday –
How'd you steal her? No pun intended.
With her, you know, her and Abby Thiemann both, you know, between the two of them, it's almost 100 stolen bases right there. And so, and Max got 30 now, I think. So
you go.
We're starting to improve on that. So, you know, we're almost over 200 stolen bases as a team this year. But with, you know, with Barnes, you know, yesterday she got caught stealing third for the first time this year, but twice. So we were trying to get her some stolen bases, and, you know, we're still going to work on that, you know, just because she got caught, that doesn't mean we're going to not keep trying. So, you know, that I think plays into our offense. We got to get the top of the order's got to get on base and use their speed, and then we got to get the middle and down through the lineup to hit the ball and get them in. And if we do that, then we're going to be successful this weekend.
Skylar and Hannah, I think, have combined for what, 25 plus home runs.
Yes,
the two of them. Mm-hmm. So, the power is here for you guys. The speed is here for you guys. The defense is pretty darn good as well. Pitching is solid. I mean, I know as a coach, we're going into the playoffs right now, so we should probably keep it all positive. But I do want to just ask you, you know, what are some little minor things that you still need to see from this team to feel very confident that you're going to go not just through region, but through nationals as well?
You know, I think a nemesis that's been on this team for the most part of the year has been our bunt coverages. We still struggle with that, and we work on a lot. And it seems like everybody looks at each other to make the play instead of just going ahead and stepping up and doing it. So we're going to work on, matter of fact, they're working on it right now as we speak. So they're going to be working on bunt coverages, and hopefully we can, you know, fix that part of our game that I think that's pretty much been the only weakness I think of this team has been our bunt coverages. You know, defensively, once we've kind of solidified some people's positions, you know, Ernie's done a really good, you know, Aaron Lofton has done a really good job at second base for us, been a really good clutch hitter in the six hole for us. So we think that's been, you know, helping us a lot there. And the, you know, the outfield's been solid now. And so, you know, Barlow's been making some outstanding plays at third base. I mean, she's, you know, and she's getting better with her bunt coverages and reading. You know, she was actually, she was a shortstop in high school, and we moved her to third this year. So she's right. Still learning and developing to play a third. So we knew that was going to be a growing, some growing pains there. And but she's getting better as time goes on. And so, and, you know, Emily Brewer has been playing a really good first base for us. And, you know, defensively, you couldn't ask for a better first baseman than Brewer. You know, she's got the height to, you know, to make up for some throws, and she can dig the balls out. So we think we got to, you know, we figured out, you know, our team for this regional run. And so I think, you know, overall, I like the way we play.
All I can say is don't try to come home from third base on a fly ball to Abby McAteer. She won't let you score.
And well, we hope not.
And that goes for the rest of the outfield as well. You got some great arms out there, some good speed also.
We do. And, you know, we should mention our catchers. You know, mm-hmm. I bet our catchers only had, I think we were just talking about, me and Coach K, I think six stolen bases is all we've had on this team this year, you know, between, you know, Murphy and you know, Myers, the two of them, both of them were strong arms. Teams don't steal on us, and that's a good, you know, an attribute to them, because they're really quick to jump out. You know, the transition from, you know, hand to glove is really good, and they can throw runners out. And so teams don't try to steal on us, which makes us, you know, defensively a better team, because we can range things different.
And not to mention Corinne Hill has a really quick fastball that gets to the plate pretty quickly and sets up those easy throws for Murphy and Myers.
She does.
Yeah. All right, Coach. Well, we're going to let the players talk now. We're going to take a break, because I feel like we all need a break here, right? Okay, yeah. We're going to come back, and we'll talk to Corinne Hill first, and then we'll get to Abby McAteer. And certainly appreciate your time, Coach, and best of luck to you on Friday.
Thanks, Matt.
And throughout the whole weekend, actually. Okay. All the way to Nationals. We wish you best of luck all the way through the end of the
season.
There you go. All right, that is Tony Cook, Jefferson College softball, joining us here on Viking Voices. Let's step aside and rest our voices for about 3 minutes. We'll come back with more here on KJF.
If you added another location to your business, do you think you would have more customers? Obviously, the answer to that question is yes. But how would you afford it? A website is the answer. This is Kirk Mooney with Alpha Media, and we offer professional websites starting at $279 down and only $139 a month. Want to find out more? Call this radio station and ask for me, Kirk Mooney. We can make it easy to do more business. We are Alpha Media, on air, online, on site.
Here is the latest listing of jobs from across the area on JobBank. Mississippi Lime Company in St. Genevieve is seeking an experienced driver for their MLDS driving division with mostly local runs and home most nights. Riverview at the Park is hiring for RNs, LPNs, and CNAs all shifts. If you're ready to learn, train, and work, contact Job Corps today. Proffer Produce is now hiring local and over-the-road drivers. The City of Bon Terre is hiring for public works, lifeguard, and pool manager. Rutherford is hiring for a receptionist, cashier, full and part-time. East Missouri Action Agency is looking to hire a summer food service cook aide. Presbyterian Manor has an immediate opening for a full-time assisted living CMT day and night shift. Are you looking for a rewarding career? Contact Middleton RV today. Sunny Hill Inc. is currently looking to add to their team of direct support professionals and program instructors. If you would like more information on these and other jobs, go to MIMOinfo.com and click on the Job Bank tab.
Hi, this is Scott Harness, and I am very pleased to announce that Jacqueline S. Gons has become associated with the Harness Law Office in Crystal City. Jacqueline will be joining me of counsel, and what that means to you is she will bring her knowledge and years of experience to my firm and will be representing clients in domestic litigation matters of divorce, child custody, child visitation, child support, paternity, and modification. She has over 25 years of experience representing clients across eastern Missouri. Jackie is an aggressive advocate for a parent who will need a voice and will not let their child down. Her experience and skill is known and respected from Clayton to Fredericktown and from Farmington to Potosi to Hillsborough. And trust me, as an attorney, other attorneys do not wish to see her in court. She is that good. You can make an appointment to discuss your situation with Jackie by calling the Harness Law Office at 636-931-8900 or her directly at 573-303-3015. Again, I want to welcome Jacqueline S. Gons of counsel to the Harness Law Firm in Crystal City.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
I'm Katie James, Director of Human Resources for Sunny Hill. We're currently looking to add to our team of program instructors. For more information, visit sunnyhillinc.org or the job bank at mimoinfo.com.
Matt Greenwood for Viking Voices on the campus of Jefferson College. We're speaking to some members of the softball crew, if you will. And we're going to speak to Abby McAteer to wrap up the program, but let's squeeze a few minutes out of Corinne Hill, the number one go-to pitcher for Coach Cook and this Jeffco softball squad. We'll start off reading some stats for you, Corinne. Let's see what you smile at, because some pretty impressive numbers. 139 innings pitched, 157 strikeouts, only 23 walks, a 2.32 ERA, a 7.91 K per 7 strikeout to innings ratio. You have given up 110 hits in those 139 innings, 14 complete games, and I don't know if I mentioned this already, 19-7 on the year. Those are some pretty awesome numbers.
Yeah, they're pretty great.
When I read those off, what are you most proud of?
I think the ERA right now, because it's definitely gone down a lot. I mean, starting out the year, it was kind of high for me, and it's gone down a lot for me.
Yeah, I mean, you got to kind of get a feel for the junior college athletic experience. I mean, you're a freshman. You're coming in from Montgomery City, Missouri. So, you know, there's a lot of adjustments to make. And, you know, as in baseball and softball and anything really, it's not just how the pitching adjusts to the hitting, but it's how the hitting adjusts to the pitching. And obviously, you know, when you get all that happening, some good things happen and some bad things happen. But for a lot of this year, a lot of good things have happened for you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the team has been great, and I mean, I've got great catchers that definitely know how to frame a ball. So
yeah, that's very important, isn't it, to get those strikes. Abby Myers and Allison Murphy, they are your catchers. How I know Myers starts. I mean, they kind of almost seems like they have split quite a bit in the catching duties. So when it comes to Myers and it comes to Murphy, what are some of their differences that you like?
Murphy is she's a little bit of a bigger target, being taller and all, and I mean, she sets up bigger than Abby does, which makes it easier to throw to once in a while. I mean, and Abby is just, I mean, she's such a great leader on the field. She's funny and she'll make you laugh, and she's a nut.
Yeah, we certainly found that out at the beginning of the season when we did Viking Voices and introduced Coach Cook in this 2018 squad. Abby Myers came on, and Skylar Barlow as well. So they're well-versed in radio now, and we did find out that Myers certainly has a great personality. I mean, how does that play for an entire season when you have downs? You know, I mean, is Myers kind of the player that everyone kind of turns to for that lift?
I mean, yeah, Abby is, she's great on the field and in the dugout. I mean, she is always getting us started, like, with cheers, and she's always got us up and going. Like, there's never a dull moment with her.
What about some other players? What are some characters, some players that you've bonded with throughout the year?
You know, Maddie Hart is just, she is something, let me tell you. She is probably one of my favorites on the field because she is such a leader. Like, when she's at first, she's so easy to, like, talk to, and she will talk to you and let you know, hey, you need to get this done, come on. Like, don't get down on yourself. Like, she's really good at that.
When it comes to your pitching at Montgomery City, I'd ask Coach Cook this. I'll ask you as well. Kind of what were your playoff situations pitching for Montgomery City?
Well, we weren't a very great team, but we stuck together. I mean, we were the first team to make it to the district championship ever at Montgomery County history.
There you go.
We lost the district championship every time. And, I mean, we just played hard. And it wasn't always great, but we stuck together.
You ever have any players from that team that you fall back on for moral support as well as the players here for Jefferson College?
Definitely Anna Ford. She was my first baseman, third baseman. She definitely was so versatile. Like, she started out playing as a catcher, and she was great, and she got her knees were starting to hurt her, so she stopped playing catcher. She came into high school, had never played third. I mean, she did amazing. She was probably one of the best third basemans I've had.
Okay.
And she's so aggressive at the plate. I mean, it helped us a lot in high school.
And you got Skylar Barlow, who can, you know, put one over the fence as well for you. When you're out there on the mound, and, you know, Coach Cook alluded to this, you got to get out to that early lead, that first inning, second inning lead, try to put 2-3 runs up on the board at a time. Your team has done a pretty good job of that for you this year. When you see the 3 runs come up in the first inning, or 4 runs in the second inning, or 5 in the second inning, or something like that, where do you go to mentally? Do you get comfortable, or you're like, you still go out there and you're like, all right, yes, I have the lead, but I still gotta be strong here?
I mean, like, yeah, you're more comfortable with the lead, but you still go out there and you want to get as many outs as you can, as fast as you can, so you can get back and hit and hopefully get more runs on the board. Like, I mean, with Hannah Carl and Skylar, like, you just kind of lean on them to, like, if you're down, you just kind of lean on them to put those runs on the board, like, really fast.
When you're in the circle and let's throw out a situation, I don't know, bases loaded, 3 balls, 2 strikes, your team's up, you know, 1-0 or something like that. excuse me. Do you ever think back on moments throughout high school and take from those experiences and into the next pitch? Do you even have time to think about that, or is it just get the ball and go again?
I mean, it's kind of like a just get the ball and go. Like, you just don't want to think about it when you're pitching, like, that, especially at that, like, with 3-2 count, you want to clear your mind and just do your best. Like, you throw everything you've got into that pitch. You make sure you don't let the run score.
Very well, very well. I didn't know where that answer was going to go, so that's a good response for sure. All right, so let's see if Coach Cook, or maybe you know this, so you're getting the nod against St. Charles, I'm guessing, on Friday?
Coach Cook is saying yes.
Yes,
so.
Okay, all right. He said at least the first 2 innings. Come on, Coach, we know she's going to go longer than that. Well, see, there you go. He's already putting a lot of pressure on you, isn't he?
Yeah.
All right, so there you go. You just found out you got the game 1 start. So how do you prep? You got a couple days to get ready for this, tournament, your first junior college, you know, postseason tournament. So what are your thoughts on that right now?
I mean, just like coming back from the high school thing, like, I've never won a district championship. I've never been in that situation. So, I mean, it's not nerve-wracking, but it's exciting. Like, I get to be with a team that's so great. Like, that's one of the reasons we decided to come here. We knew that they had a great history, and we knew that we had a great team coming in this year. So we were just excited for it. And it's definitely just really exciting.
All right, very well. Well, we're certainly excited for you. So best of luck on Friday.
Thank you.
And throughout the tournament, of course. That is Corinne Hill of Jefferson College Softball. She's the number 1 pitcher for them, and she's going to be looking for win number 20 when she hits the circle Friday at 1:30 against St. Charles. So, again, best of luck to you, Corinne.
Thank
you. And we're going to go ahead and take a brief pause here and come back and talk numbers and stuff with Abby McAteer as well, left fielder for the Vikings. We'll do so in 2 minutes here on KJEF. It's Viking Voices.
Today's world, much like the past, is a turbulent one. Many people are nervous about investing and are looking for advice. Hi, I'm Benjamin Heft with Fortune Investment Services. At Fortune Investment Services, we tailor a portfolio specific to you, your situation, and your life goals. Let us be your financial coach. Call us today for a no-obligation, no-cost, personal financial consultation at 636-467-7500.
All securities from Money Concepts Capital Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. Fortune Investment Services is not affiliated with Money Concepts Capital Corporation.
Hopkins Floor Company's 55th anniversary celebration continues with JW Woodworks custom cabinets on sale. Get up to 20% off right now on your custom cabinet orders. Let Hopkins show you an all-wood white shaker 10x10 kitchen from just $15.99. Also, nothing beats a custom granite countertop, and Hopkins has them at 25% off. And stop in and see Mohawk's all-new waterproof wood. The savings are store-wide at Hopkins Floor Company, Highway 67, just south of Festus.
It's not easy being a mom, but my Chrysler Pacifica makes soccer practice a little more fun. I can binge all my shows with the available Uconnect Theater, open the stow-and-go seating to grab my hidden romance novel, or just jam out to the radio.
Hey, Mom, what was that song?
Huh? What song? I didn't hear a song.
Chrysler Pacifica. It's loaded with attitude. Chrysler is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
The auto body experts at Sapaw GM Power hope you never have an accident, but if you do, they're confident that their team of body and paint specialists can help. All of Sapaw's repairs come with a limited lifetime warranty, and most importantly, Sapaw will work with all insurance companies and can handle your claim from start to finish on all makes and models at the most modern body shop in the St. Louis area. That's important to you. Don't drive around one more day with a damaged vehicle. Contact Sapaw Auto Body today and check out Sapaw.com for their excellent customer reviews.
Matt Greenwood back with Viking Voices. This is the third and final segment of our show, and I am more than happy to be joined by Abby McAteer, freshman left fielder from Cedar Hill, Missouri. She's joining us here on the program as we're talking playoff softball for the Vikings, as they'll start the Region 16 tournament on Friday at 1:30. Game one against St. Charles. It is a double elimination tournament. And so Corinne Hill, as you may or may not have just heard, is going to be starting game one for Coach Cook and the Vikings. But by the way, we will post this show on our website, mymoinfo.com, a little bit later. But let's go ahead and start talking to Abby McAteer here. Abby, welcome onto the show.
Hi.
Hello. let's take a look at your numbers, if you will. 126 at-bats in 45 games. You have scored 28 runs for the team. You got 42 hits, 10 of which are doubles. You were able to get a triple on the year, which I'm going to ask you if you remember that triple. You also have 5 home runs and 31 RBIs with 21 stolen bases, which is right up there third on the team behind Barnes and Teammitt. Mm-hmm. And let's see, your batting average, .333. So all around, excellent numbers.
Thank you, yeah.
All right, so what? Let me ask you, do you remember the triple? Who it was against?
North Central, yeah, I remember it.
All right, was that the first time y'all played them or second time y'all played North Central?
It was, I'm pretty sure, the first game.
First game?
Played that. Yeah, I hadn't hit all game. Like, I've been struggling, and then we were tied, and we needed to get that run in. And so I hit that triple, and it was a good feeling. We got the run in, and we were up, so.
All right. I'm not going to ask you if you remember all 5 home runs, although you probably could tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like I said at the outset, y'all are very good about maintaining information, as I was able to pick up when I was setting stuff up here for the show. But, okay, so. We talk about the batting average, the 21 stolen bases, the 1 triple, 5 home runs. I'll ask you the same thing I asked Corinne. When you hear those stats, what kind of pops out in your mind? What are you most proud of?
I'm really proud of my batting average and my home runs. I had a goal for myself for a little higher, the home runs. I think I set it at 8.
Was that your high school high?
Yeah. So I just really wanted to top that here. But, I mean, I'm really happy with the stolen bases, too. When I get on, I like stealing. I like, you know, running. So I'm pretty proud of all of it. It's overall a good year of, like, adjusting into freshman year. So I think it's pretty great.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, when I read those numbers, you're not just one-dimensional. You're not just home runs. You're not just stolen bases. You're not just batting average, so on and so forth. You throw in a mix of all of those for Coach Cook, and I believe you've sort of been batting towards the bottom of the order, like 6, 7, 8. For a lot of the season, is that?
Yeah, I started lower. I was like at 7 and 8 at the beginning of the season, and then now I've been moved up to like the 5th spot. So.
Well, there you go. I mean,
you know, it's not always easy, especially with this Jeffco lineup being as loaded as it is, to move up a few spots. So, you know, when you started out the year kind of low and you've been able to move up, I mean, what do you think about that? Are you pretty proud of that accomplishment to be able to move up in the order?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it. You know, whenever you bat lower in the lineup, you can easily get on if, like, you're the first batter and then steal. But in the middle, you know, your main job is to get those people in. And so it's a big responsibility, but I like being in that spot to hit somebody in.
Let's talk about your defense, too. As we threw in the Viking Voices intro, you made one heck of a throw to home plate against Mineral Area College, led to a rundown and eventual out of an inning. Do you take more pride in your offense or your defense?
I mean, I love outfield. I've loved outfield, you know, since high school, but I've always been really proud of my outfield. You know, I like running and catching down those balls or throwing somebody out. It's just a good feeling, you know, for your team to get that out for them. So it's just an overall good feeling. I really like outfield, so probably my defense for sure.
Now, I know you're pretty quick out there. I know you got a good arm as well. That arm that you've been able to develop, the strength in that arm, how's the development of that been for you?
I mean, I've always been an outfielder ever since I started select ball, so it's just been growing ever since, you know, that age. But, you know, in high school I played center field, so I still had to throw the ball home and left. You know, it's a good feeling, too, to have to throw the ball. So, I like making those throws. It's a good feeling.
You ever feel any pressure when it's, a tight game or something like that?
For sure, yeah, you feel it. You know, you have to make the catch first, and that's always on your mind, and then you have to make the really good throw. And, I mean, afterwards you feel great, or, you know, you don't, but, you know, you just try your hardest.
I'm sure it's a lot easier to get it to home plate faster when you kind of make a catch on the run going towards home plate rather than having to, you know, stop underneath it, kind mm-hmm. of get your feet going as you make the catch. So, I mean, when it comes to that aspect of being an outfielder, are you more comfortable with the running in, catching it, throwing it, or do you prefer the stance and then catch and then throw?
Well, they teach you you're supposed to, like, wait back on the ball, and then you're supposed to, like, stutter step, catch it, so your momentum's going forward anyways, because you get the better throw going in forward, you know, better than, you know, being on your flat foot. You know, you'll always have a stronger throw coming in first.
Let's move on to characters on the team. Corinne mentioned a few names as well. What about you? What are some players you've grown attached to and have a good relationship with on this ball club?
Well, T-Man being in center, you know, we have a really good bond out there. I feel like we really work well together. And even when we flipped in the middle of the year, but even now, like, we're still so strong together. Like she said, Maddie Hart's a big picker-upper. Myers is really a big, you know, likes to get everybody going in the dugout. Taylor Barnes is something else. You know, she has a outgoing personality, and no matter what, she'll, like, make anybody smile just because she's so crazy. But, yeah. So her and Taylor Barnes and Caitlin Williams, they've been pretty much my go-tos. They pick me up whenever I need it. You know, they always tell me if I'm not hitting, like, they're like, you can do it. You can hit the ball. You'll be great. So,
real quickly, you come out of Cedar Hill. Any chances to go be a district champ and go through the state tournament when you were there?
We went to the district championship. We lost in 7 innings to Washington, so that was a upsetter. But we played really well, so.
And do you draw on any of those experiences? Have you drawn on any of those experiences throughout this season as you get ready for these playoffs?
Oh, I definitely want to win big here. Like, I want to go farther than have been able to in high school. So I know that we're going to do really well in regionals and then move on to districts and then nationals. I think we're going to kill it.
All right. Hey, we'll end it right there. That's perfect. Thank you very much to Abby and also Corinne. And also to Coach Cook as well. That's going to do it for our Viking Voices program. My name is Matt Greenwood, Stuart McMillan back in the studio. We certainly appreciate your time. And again, Friday, 1:30, St. Charles, Corinne Hill on the bump. It's the Region 16 tournament.
It is now 5 o'clock. You're listening to KJFF, Festus, Crystal City, ABC News in
Secretary
Progress.
Secretary Sarah Sanders said Jackson's nomination would go forward.
He's a highly qualified, highly skilled individual, and if he didn't think he was capable of doing the job, he wouldn't have announced his nomination in the first place.
French President Emmanuel Macron addressed joint congressional leaders today. He called on Americans to reject isolationism. One of the most notorious serial killer cases in the U.S. may have finally been solved. Authorities in California arrested 72-year-old James Joseph D'Angelo. They believe he was the Golden State Killer who committed at least 12 homicides and 45 rapes in the 1970s and 80s. FBI Special Agent in Charge Sean Reagan says D'Angelo is a former cop.
Very possibly he was committing the crimes during the time he was employed as a peace officer.
Charges against the man accused of shooting two police officers and a civilian employee of a Home Depot store in Dallas are likely to be upgraded, as one of the wounded officers has died.
Rogelio Santander had been a Dallas police officer for only 3 years, but Sergeant Mike Mata, the president of the Dallas Police Association, says he'd already made an impression on the city.
Not just a good officer, but an amazing human being. And the citizens of Dallas need to understand that he gave his life for them.
The 27-year-old becomes the ninth Dallas police officer to die in the last 2 years. His partner, who also was wounded, is said to be improving, as is the Home Depot employee. All three shot by a shoplifting suspect who was later captured after a pursuit. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Facebook made 12. 12-